Well, hey, everybody, and Merry, Merry Christmas from the Dream Big podcast with Bob Goff and friends. I'm the host, Scott Schimmel, and I am sure, well, if you're alive, you've probably got some conflict in relationships. Maybe it's in your family, maybe it's in your group of friends, maybe it's within your church community. Maybe you're directly involved or not. You're just more of a bystander, a middleman. But it's really hard to find these days any family, community, or group of friends that doesn't have a breakdown in discourse and dialogue and understanding and connection. There are people that are blocking each other on social media these days, refusing to see each other, not showing up at church because they might see that person that you saw the comment on Facebook or, you know, whatever it is, or not inviting people over to the home for holidays. It's becoming a big, big issue. And we wanted to address that and give you some tools as you head into your potentially difficult holiday season, where we tend to invite loved ones over, see friends, and go to church. How do you do it without, you know, violating your sense of right and wrong, pretend like you're acquiescing to someone's point of view? How do we re-engage and move back towards empathy and dialogue and understanding and grace? These are the big topics. And on top of that, how do we dream as we transition to a new year? How do we dream for the next year when there's some unresolved issues going on, conflict within friendships and loved ones? It's actually really hard to see clearly when there's stress and conflict and strife. So today we wanted to bring someone that could guide all of us through some of these really difficult dynamics and discussions. Christy Vines, she's the CEO and president of something called the Eidos Institute, who brings what they call empathic intelligence, which I just love that term, empathic intelligence, tools and resources for ordinary people like you and me to engage in dialogue and empathy. And she and Bob engage in a conversation I think you're going to love, take some notes, and maybe just lean towards some of those relationships that you've been leaning away from over the past year.
So, Christy, thanks for jumping on the podcast. Tell the people that haven't met you just yet a little bit about yourself.
Sure. So I am a mother, a wife of three. I live here in Southern California in North LA County, Westlake Village. I also am a lover of Jesus and the president and CEO of a Christian organization called Eidos Institute.
Nice. And tell me about Eidos Institute.
Sure. So Eidos was founded about 3.5 years ago. I founded it after leaving kind of the conflict world. I was working in DC, mostly on issues of religious conflict and international religious freedom, and just found that there was a need, I think, for a new approach to solving some of the world's greatest challenges. And it was grounded in this very small, unique space called empathy. And so we have been on a very deep dive for several years in both empathy, but also a burgeoning space called empathic intelligence.
Wow. It tells, like, for context, some of these conflict scenarios that you've been part of.
So, you know, when I joined an institution called Institute for Global Engagement, founded by actually our first ambassador for international religious freedom, Bob Seipel, who had been the president of World Vision before that. And he founded IGE out of this deep, I think, concern for the way in which religious freedom was being promoted around the world. And so when I joined, it was during the Obama administration, and there was this huge pivot to Asia. There was the growing issue of religious extremism around the world. And so if you had any experience or expertise in religion and conflict, you automatically were assumed to be a terrorism expert. And so I quickly was kind of consumed by that world. I'd been at RAND before that, so had been certainly exposed to that work and had gone to the Kennedy School and had a focused on national security. So I had some background for it, but never to the extent that I was experiencing at this point. And so it really was just a moment where, you know, whether it was happening in parts of Africa, Southeast Asia, certainly growing issues of extremism in the Middle East, we were kind of focused on the role that religion played in that conflict, and also the role of dialogue and bringing people to the table to try to find common ground.
You know, this idea of finding common ground, it feels kind of contemporary during holiday seasons in particular, when you have a bunch of family members that don't have common ground at all. Have you found a way to bridge over some of this, like background experience that you have in conflict resolution, with meld that together with a higher level of empathy and how to deal with family members? Just give us some insights that maybe some like really practical takeaways that we can use just in our own worlds.
You know, I grew up in a family that was highly diverse. In fact, I think more diverse than most ever experienced. And my grandmother was an immigrant from Ireland. My grandfather, an immigrant from West Africa. Growing up, my family came in all hues and colors. There were different religious orientations, especially as my aunts and uncles married. And so Sunday dinner looked a lot like many families today, but very different from a lot of families today. So every Sunday was kind of this debate. I grew up with debate and in some ways conflict happening every Sunday really was what happened at the dinner table. So we talked about religion. We talked about politics. I watched my aunts and uncles debate these issues constantly. But I think what was unique is that we knew as a family, we had to come back that next Sunday together and break bread and continue to love each other. And that really formed in me a deep sense of the importance of valuing the other, to sitting and listening to different perspectives, not from a posture of defense, but out of this idea that we only grow as we learn and listen to other perspectives different from our own, even those that we would disagree with. And then learn how to come back and despite those differences, despite differences of opinion, to just love on the human being that sits across the table from us. And I think that's the lesson we've lost in our society. Look, I grew up hearing from friends who said, oh, no, we were told that that's the stuff you don't talk about at the dinner table or in polite company, like religion and politics are, you know, the non-starters. And yet I think that's such a we do a disservice to our families, especially our, you know, future generations, because we've now are in a moment where we don't know how to have these hard conversations. But I think when we go back to the grounding in the human being behind those opinions and those perspectives we disagree with, we often find that one, we learn from those moments. We actually have some really amazing conversations. But even more importantly, I think it's this idea that I just want to understand who you are so I can love you better. And that so we have a mutual respect and exchange of ideas that aren't about trying to win the debate or make sure you believe like I believe, but rather come away with this, both of us better off for that conversation.
Yeah. Do you have some practical things you've done? Are you like laying out the ground rules before the rules of engagement?
Absolutely.
Before somebody passes the potatoes or throws them?
That's right. So there are some basic tips that people can kind of take, walk away from or use in the, especially during the holidays. And one of those is I always say, we know when we're being defensive, when we have those kind of hackles up, ready to kind of engage and battle over ideas. And I often say the best thing to do is when you feel those moments happening is actually to quiet yourself and just listen. So often, you know, I say we've spent a lifetime figuring out our own defense, right? All the reasons why we believe what we believe. So we're well prepared to go to battle over them. But what would happen if we just suspended all of that and said, you know what, I'm not here to debate. I just really am here to listen. And so I think having those moments of quiet, letting people actually express themselves, and then asking more questions than responses is really helpful. I've learned even myself that in those moments where I'm like, ooh, I'm just ready to get in there and mix it up so I can win this battle, that actually stopping and asking them, what's behind that? Help me understand why you came to that perspective.
Oh, yeah, it's really practical.
Is really helpful, but we often don't practice it, right?
Yeah,
we usually just want to debate. And actually say the best way to dialogue around big issues, polarizing issues, which are usually what's served up at holiday tables with family and friends, is just this idea of stopping this need to defend yourself and actually being much more open to just listening and hearing. The other thing too is I think it's important though to value hard conversations. I think we're afraid of them, especially in this day and age, right? With cancel culture and people, you know, literally breaking relationship over differences of political opinion and issues over racial tensions and all kinds of COVID vaccinations. I think what's really important in these moments is just to think more about the person behind those opinions rather than the opinion or idea itself. Because who do we value more? Do we value this idea or do we value the person? And when you think critically about that, even before you sit down at the dinner table, it can change the dynamic really quickly.
I really like the idea in the Old Testament when God showed up, they used to take their shoes off. Remember, yes. Like God shows up and he's like, Joshua asks, like, whose side are you on? He says, take off your shoes. He's like not That's like right. going to answer the questions that we ask. He's got his own agenda. And so what if in some of the conversations, I remember in one person that was particularly hard to deal with, I would just take my shoes off. I think I would just stink them out. And so that idea, like there's something about to say, this is holy ground. And so talk to me, you'll have a different conversation if you take your shoes off.
That's right. And even a metaphorical set of shoes, right?
Yeah,
to think totally. About, you know, I'm going to lay down my defense and just be willing to be present with people.
Yeah, what if you just say, I'm convinced I'm right, and I am most of the time.
That's right.
Even when I'm wrong, right. I think I'm right. But just say, I'm not trying to be right. I'm trying to be Jesus here. And so, there's a big difference between the two sometimes to say you can be right and then win an argument that isn't worth winning.
That's absolutely right.
Tell me, you have a documentary coming out. Tell us about that.
Yep. So we are just putting the final touches on a documentary called Dialogue Lab America. It was inspired by actually this dialogue I was invited into earlier this year after the election cycle and January 6th. And there were just some friends of mine back from DC and in the private sector who said, we just can't have hard conversations anymore, even with people who we considered friends and family. And can you help? And I, in some ways, I guess, stupidly said yes, not knowing what I was going to do.
Yeah.
And so they brought together 13 pretty high level folks, some that were actually stepping down from the Trump administration at the time. And over the course of 4 weeks and with a lot of prayer right before each session, we kind of laid out a whole process for how do you do exactly what we're talking about right now. And the unfortunate part is because of who they were, it was all off the record, not recorded. I couldn't publicize doing this. And so some friends of mine and some of my staff said, you know, what if we try to recreate this to inspire the country and show them that this is possible? And so we brought together another 12 Americans across very different political, religious, racial lines and said, let's put you all through this. And so this is the culmination of that process. And it's really telling the story of what happens when you bring 12 Americans together to really wrestle with these hard issues that our country is wrestling with today and try to answer the question, is common ground even possible? And I think we answered that question, not perfectly. We weren't here to solve America's problems in this documentary, but we were trying to take that first step to prove that dialogue is powerful and it's worth investing in.
What's the name of the documentary?
It's Dialogue Lab America. And
okay.
It will premiere January 5th on the National Day of Dialogue.
Oh, come on. How cool is that? And how can people participate? How can they jump in if they want to be part of this? And if they've heard what you have to say and say, I'm in.
They can go to the website, which is www.nationaldayofdialogue.com, sign up, and they will get early exclusive access to watch the film and lots of other resources that we are sending out.
And what do you hope people will do? Like, so they watch the documentary and they go like, that was awesome. Now what?
Yeah. Well, a couple of things. First, we hope that they're just inspired to start their own dialogues with the family and friends that maybe they've been too afraid of engaging with or who, you know, they've broken fellowship with altogether. So just starting is and being inspired and having the confidence to enter into those tough conversations. But then we hope that the folks who get a chance to watch it and experience it, then share it with their friends and maybe even, you know, volunteer to host a screening themselves. And so we've got full kits available to people who want to host their own screening with their friends and family. And then, you know, perhaps engage in a little bit of Dialogue Lab themselves.
So good. Well, I'm grateful for what you're doing. I think this is important stuff, and I'm glad we have an empathetic person and a humble voice to guide us there. Thanks for making the time to be on the podcast.
Thanks for having me, Bob.
But one really cool thing that they talked about is this new documentary film that's coming out. What an opportunity to gather people together, almost just like a reason to get together again and to send somebody an invitation, say, hey, why don't we get together And this could be in your family room. This could be in your church fellowship center. This could even be via Zoom. Let's get together and watch this film together and use that as a mirror or a springboard to engage in coming back together, hearing one another, listening to one another, sharing our perspective, talking about what matters most, which is friendship and love and loyalty. And so there's an opportunity there for you. We've got all the links in the show notes. Coming up, we have two Dream Big Live workshops. These are retreats, 3 days that we used to do all the time until the shutdown. And now, drumroll, they are back. This time, they're going to be at the Oaks, the retreat center just outside of San Diego. We'd love to invite you to come. And if this is the right time for you to spend 3 days with Bob and a community of people who are leaning into their dreams, then come on over. Go to the website. The link is in the bio as well. And we would love to see you at the upcoming December or January Dream Big Live workshops. Again, we wish you and your loved ones the merriest, merriest of the season, that you would turn your heart towards God, inviting Him in to speak to you, to if you've got any wounds that you're still carrying from the past year and a half, that He could minister to you. And as you transition to the new year, that you'd go out into that new year with all the confidence that He is with you and He is for you. We're taking next week off. We'll be back in 2022 with another episode of the Dream Big Podcast with Bob Goff and friends.